Hey, yo, and here we go. Another episode of We Talk Podcast Special Edition. We talk comedy this time. I'm your host, Martin, and I have with me the special guest, host of the We Talk Podcast Specials, Mr. Brett Podcast. Brett, why don't you introduce today's guest?
Well, today, I mean, we are honored to have one of my favorite comedians, Mr. Jeremy Hotz. Jeremy, how are you?
I'm good. I'm here. I'm in Halifax, and I'm here.
That's right. I saw that. Yeah, Halifax tonight for your Trey Miserable tour.
No, oh, there he is, Mr. Not Bilingual.
Not bilingual at all.
Mr. I didn't pay attention in French class. Yes,
that's right. Mr. I'm from Alberta, so therefore I don't need
to. Mr. Completely English.
Yes. Well, you know, and when it comes down to this tour, like, I mean, I see you've got a lot of dates going over there, you know, starting east and then, you know, and you stop in Saskatchewan. I mean, what's
up? Yeah. Yeah, Saskatchewan is at the end of the thing. They put it at the end because it's March and they think it's so much warmer there in March. You know, it's just the same. Like,
why would you go to Saskatchewan on purpose?
Well, you know, you got to include them. I have a famous bit on Saskatchewan, so that's why. They kind of like me for that. So that's why.
So this is your 10th national tour, hey?
Yeah, I know. I still am doing it, and it's ridiculous. They just won't let me retire. I just want to lie down. It's so stupid. Like, I've done it enough. Leave me alone.
Is it difficult, like, to book these tours? I mean, how, like, what's your demand like?
Pretty damn good is the problem. That's it right there. So, yeah. Yeah, no, it's not difficult. The manager goes, you're going on the road again. And then that's the end of it. That's the end of that. I just say, okay. And then wherever. Then a man points and then I have to walk on the stage. That's it. That's the whole thing.
When did you decide that you knew comedy was for you, that this is it, you know, you're funny?
Okay, all right, you know when you're young and like you're looking for a job because you're out of high school? Nobody gave me a job at all. They didn't like the look on my face. I had no choice. So I figured I better do something. I seem to make people laugh. Let's try that. That's what happened. It kind of found me because nobody else would. I couldn't even get a job at McDonald's, man. They said I look stupid in the hat. Yes, yes, that's what they said.
Wait, so then, you know, as a young comedian, get, like, kind of growing up and like, how long did it take you to find your footing in comedy? I mean, especially in Canada.
Well, it started in school because I was ugly, so none of the girls paid attention to me. But when I was funny, they all did. And that continued for the rest of my life. So that's why I, you know, and then with stand up, it didn't take long is what happened. I went to Yuck Yucks in Toronto because I lived in Ottawa and I took a bus. And I went on their amateur night and they put me on last, like, I don't know, like after 25 people or some crap like this. And I destroyed. And then the owner of the club was at the back, Breslin. And he comes up to me and he goes, did you want to do this professionally? And like I said, I had nothing else going on. So I went, yeah, that's what it is. And that's the story. And he said, I'm opening up a club next month in Ottawa. And I said, perfect. I live there. That was it.
Did you think of material ahead of time? Did you write stuff down or did you just go up there?
I wrote stuff down and it worked for some reason because it was amateur night and everybody else was really bad, I guess.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah, I mean, at least you're funny. I mean, Brett's just ugly. He doesn't have funny at all. I mean,
well, he's got good guitars, you know.
That's right. Yeah, you know, he does. You gotta have something.
Can you play at all?
Not anymore. No.
You've just stolen those and put them up on the wall. I can't do.
Decoration. Yeah. There's a lot of things I can't do. I can't speak French and I can't play guitar.
So. Yeah, I noticed that. And yet you're the host of the thing, right?
That's right. Well, you know, I mean, I guess I can do this.
I don't mind. I don't care. I'll talk to you. I don't care.
So are there like groupies for comedians?
Yes. No, I don't, but there are. I don't, but there are. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Things have happened in my life that are shocking that I will not get into on your podcast. I will not, because I'm not a professional wrestler. So I won't tell you those stories. Yeah, they do. They don't care. They do. They don't care.
Wow. I guess the thing, like anytime you're out on tour, anytime something like that happens, it just automatically attracts a kind, right?
Sure, it does, I guess. I don't know. Depends how badly they want to get out of the town. Anyway, that's what it turns into.
That's okay. You got your dog, Shackleton.
He's sleeping right now. He's fast asleep because he used to get up, but now it's press day. So we've been up since, early. And now, no, he just goes to sleep and goes, I'm not doing it anymore. That's what he does. You know, I can only abuse much, fellas. And I will not make him get up when he doesn't want to get up.
Oh, my pet sleeps about 22 and a half hours a day. So, I mean, I understand.
But he has a lot of stimulation because he goes everywhere with me. So he sees more than the average dog. You know what I'm saying? So he gets tired.
So then what's
tired? Well, what makes him the perfect pet for you and you the perfect owner for him? Because it seems like this is just a symbiotic relationship that's just ideal.
It turned into that. You know, it was a lot. It was a little work at the beginning, but once he just turned into the guy. Here's the thing: because of my anxiety disorder, I can't. Like, it's not just I'm a little nervous about stuff. I can't go outside some days. You know, that's just the way it is. I have agoraphobia from it. But you got to walk the dog, or else he pees all over the house. That's how that works. Get it? So I got to go out. And when you got two little eyes looking at you going, what are we going to do today? You figure out stuff to do and you take them and that's it. You do it. So a lot of it is, helping me motivate. I'm really good on stage. I'm really bad in real life. Off stage is the problem. That's why I don't feel like that when I'm performing because of adrenaline, but I don't get that adrenaline rush just walking down the street, you see? So there's the problem.
Do you get recognized a lot walking down the street?
Sometimes.
Yeah. What's that like for you?
I don't like it that much, you know, or I'll just hear somebody yell, hey, Shaq, like that. And they know the name of the dog. So they know exactly what this is, you know? Yeah, sure. You know, most people are pretty good about it. If I don't make eye contact, people don't say anything.
Somebody coming in, reaching for the phone, going doing the selfie with you.
You know, thank God Canadians are a little better than that. Slightly. You know,
when you're on stage, you talk about the adrenaline rush. When you have a joke that you know is coming, that hits every time, does it give you a rush to just even know in anticipation of it coming?
Yes, that does happen when you're on a roll and you go, oh, I feel sorry for them because this one's next. I'm going to kill them with this one. You know what I mean? If they've been laughing at this all the way, then when they hear this, they're going to die. There will be deaths.
Has there been, like, how many times are there jokes where you're just like, oh, I'm going to hit this one, and then it just falls flat?
Not really. That doesn't, because you add, the longer you do it, the more you know if it's going to work as soon as you finish writing it. Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, you just know. And you know with your cadence, your rhythm, and everything that you do. Some are just bang, and then, you know, very rarely am I surprised. It's usually if it's a political thing and the way they feel politically in that room in that moment. That's it.
So Alberta's going to have a different audience than Ontario necessarily, or
right? Quebec, I would lean more on the anti-Trudeau thing there. You know what I mean? Because the country is, I've never seen a prime minister that is so unpopular with a lot of Canadians than this guy right now. I don't recall it ever happening. Except maybe his father.
I know.
Geez. Oh, I'm so bad tonight. I don't know why I said that. I don't even know. I wasn't even alive for most of his father.
I know. But the funny thing is that it's one of those things that I remember, like, as a child, I was at a friend's place, and up in the closet, there was a hat that said, "Come West, Trudeau," and it had a hanging rope on it. And I was like,
they hated him out West back in his dad out West. Yeah. Or something. I don't know if it was about oil, though. I don't know what it was about, but they hated him. Yeah, for sure. Yes. For sure. It might have just been Western hate. They have a lot of that out there. You know, they have cows and hate.
Cows and hate. And oil and gas. Yeah, there's some of that.
And oil and gas. Oh, yeah, there's that too.
So, you know, what's it like then trying to branch out into acting? Like, do you find that acting is something that you enjoy doing, or is that kind of a—
I do, but it's another guy's words, huh? Remember that? And then I work in a medium that isn't another guy's words. So what it is mine. I've written the whole thing, and I much prefer that. You know, I do. I do stand-up. And then because of stand-up, they put me as an actor in things. That's fine. That's okay. Just, you know, remember that I'm a stand-up. That's all. I didn't write Speed 2, okay? Rock my back. I read another guy's garbage. All right. That's what it was.
Suddenly I want to go rewatch Speed 2, but
no, you don't. Favorite Martian. No, don't. You do not want to do that.
Yeah. No, my favorite Martian. I might want to watch that ahead of it. I'm not sure.
I mean that. Yeah, that's with Elizabeth Hurley and Jeff Daniels.
Good, strong cast. I
mean, yeah, there were good people in it. You know what happened?
And then when you write for other people, like working for the Daily Show and stuff like that, is that, you know, what's that like?
I didn't like it as much as the acting. There was a lot of sketches, and they figured out I was a good actor. So the writers wrote this, and then I got in their sketches. So then I was really happy. I had a lot of things to do, and it was a lot of fun. I really liked working on the Stewart Show. That was great.
How often are you writing? Like, is it just one of those cases where, like, every moment of the day you see something and you think, oh, that's funny?
No, I got the way that I do it is my process is because you've seen me, so you realize I'm extremely conversational, which has now developed into pretty much half of it I'm hearing for the first time, too, because I'm just making it up. And then the other half, I write with Max. We write, we do it about six times a week. We write for an hour a night. You have to. I mean, you'd be foolish not to try to think of stuff and go, I thought of these five things today, and then work with another guy to talk about and see what you can get out of it. And that's what we do.
And then always been that process? Has it always had that level of dedication for it?
Yeah. It has been I've always sort of done that. You know, I've always kind of thought about things and, you know, written them down. And then over the last 10 years or so, I've been working with Max.
And then when do you know when a joke is right to try on an audience?
When I say it, when I try it. I mean, guys, sometimes I'll just not know how it's going to end and I'll start it and then it ends. And then I do it again and again and again because it has worked. Yes, that happens a lot. Where I just find it while I'm saying it, and then it turned out to be the right thing to say. But it is trial and error, like everything, like sex. Well, it is. You get better the more times you do it.
No, I think my second time was my best time.
Okay. So you gave up two. After three times.
Just all downhill from there.
Yeah.
So when it comes to audience interaction, like I know there are some comics who are great at it and some who are just not so good. Is that a skill that you really need to work on to kind of be a better comedian?
Well, for me, it's a natural thing. So I don't know. I just challenge myself consistently. I'm quite hard on myself. And then I would, even though I have prepared stuff, I would go, yeah, just do this and see what you can do, you moron. That's, I do things like that. I go, try to get a laugh with your brain, idiot. Yeah, I do that all the time. Yeah. So, and other guys never, it's the same in a row every time, like a play. You know what I mean? I could never do that because I would be bored to tears, but everybody has their own process. Mine is constantly to go into the audience.
So then
do you find that there's certain guys though that you see their writing and you're just blown away by the actual joke writing itself?
Yeah, there's a lot of guys like that. And I've noticed that the guys that are like that are terrible performers. Have you not noticed that too? You could hear Austin, it and yeah. I could read this from a book. Why are you even standing there? Absolutely. Yeah. You really have to be, it's, you know, the way you have to do all different things now in show business to get noticed, you have to do all different things in stand up when you're on stage too. Absolutely. You got to be good in all the areas. You can't just be good in one. Mm-hmm. Not anymore. So, you know, there's too much of it. It's all over the internet. Thank God for that, eh? Because I've gotten really popular because of that. Because most of them stink, eh? That's something, you look really good. I mean, I'm telling you, you want to get a pretty girl, hang out with ugly guys. That's how that works.
That's why Brett's my friend. So, right. If I had been a comic, I would have been an insult comic, by the way, just in case you were wondering. Obviously, that's the case.
Yeah, you cut people down because you don't have a mirror.
Yes, Martin the insult comic dog or comic yeah, insult
yeah,
dog.
Yeah, yeah, he likes, I think Rickles he would have liked, right?
Like, oh, yes.
Oh, I love Rickles. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're kidding. I watched that guy for hours.
He was a funny guy, man. He was just, he had all the mean stuff to say. I think he lived out west.
Who were the comedians that you looked up to when you were kind of growing up and decided that, bam, I'm, you know, you're going to do it?
Carlin, George Carlin. I went to see live with my brother at the Arts. I got his tape because he was a bit, you know, I was just a kid, like, and it was the best of George Carlin. And I got my brother's and I listened to it and I over and over again. I thought he was fantastic. It was just the greatest thing in the world. And then we went to see George Carlin at the Arts Center. And my brother tells me this when we were leaving. I turned to him and I said, one day I'm going to do that. And he told me that. And I said, really? Because you don't remember when I was like 12 or some stuff like that. You know, and he goes, yeah, you said that. I was like, wow, I was right. Who knew? You know? But I didn't know I wasn't going to get a job. What the hell? Oh, God, that's just horrible. I mean, good. Screw you, Ottawa. What the hell was that about, man? Wow. Wow.
You're lucky that this profession existed because otherwise, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Mr. Homeless, here he comes.
you just would have had to invent a new genre of, you know, something.
You know? Yeah, and I wasn't a good student either. They told me that it wasn't going to work out for me, a couple of teachers. You know,
we're just apparently good at French.
It's not really going to work out for you. What isn't going to work out? You don't even know what I'm going to do yet. Shut up. How negative are you? Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. This didn't work out for you. You're teaching 12-year-olds math. Wow. That means you know very little math.
Yeah, it's like this whole life thing for you. It's just not really.
It fails. It's not, really, it's not, you know, as you can see, it's not an act. Okay. This is it all the time. I just walk on stage and it continues. That's it.
But, you know, I mean, and I guess I would rather have that than the comedian who turns it on stage and then off stage is completely different.
But he can turn it on every single time.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because there's no risk there, right? It's just right. All prepared and all, you know, and I'm a challenger. So
George Carlin is an example.
I'm challenged. What?
George Carlin is an example. You see his interviews afterwards and he'd be deadly serious and yeah. Just about the art and the, you know.
He was very much about it. Yeah. Yeah, he really was about. I met him, you know, because the first time I did Letterman, he was there. So I got to meet my childhood hero.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was pretty cool, man. You know, I didn't know how short he was. Wow. I thought he was, because he was my hero, I thought he was a giant 7'4" man. You always do, you know, when you're a kid. You think yeah. he's Andre the Giant, is what you think. And then you meet the guy and he's like a shrimp.
What a mind, though. What a mind.
It's true. He was, he changed the black and white comedy and brought it into color. You know what I mean? You know what I mean when I say the setup punchline guys? He didn't do that, really. He masked it, and he was a true artist.
What really is amazing about him is you can look at what he was saying 25 years ago, and it's more relevant today than it was 25 years ago.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's unbelievable.
You know? And sad that we lost him, because he didn't live that long, you know. He could have gone on and on.
It's
He wasn't going to stop, but he had that crummy heart, you know, the whole time.
Yeah. Are there comedians that you really like working with right now?
Yeah, there's some that I like working with. I like Alonzo Bowden a lot. He's a big black guy that does political stuff, but it's very good and sharp, and you should listen to him. I think he's really clever.
He's a great writer. He was on America's Got the what was it, Last Comic Standing? And
yes, that guy, same guy. He's a good friend, and he's great. I think he's really good. There are like tons of comics that are coming up right now that you can see that are good. And then, you know, the classics like Bill Burr and those guys, everybody likes them. So, you know, there's always a few of them out there, but go find your ones, huh? Because they're all over the internet now. It's very easy. You can go find what you want. Just go on Facebook or YouTube or Instagram, and you'll see tons of comedy.
Yeah, I know there's so many that we haven't heard of, and yet
I'm just thinking, no, Alonzo Bowden, if you haven't heard him, Brett, you got to hear him. He's got this one joke, not to ruin it, I won't say it nearly as good, but you know, something along the lines of white people hear things black people don't hear, like your mortgage is approved, you know, and it's just hilarious.
Yeah, that's the sort of stuff. So there, enjoy that.
Hilarious.
You know, there's some women that are pretty good too now, you know, like I've always liked Tammy Pescatelli. She still does it. Have you seen her before? She's still out there doing it. Who else is, that's about it right now that I'm thinking of. I can't think of it right now. You know, I mostly avoid comics because they remind me of used car salesmen.
Well, Jeremy, it has been a treat talking to you, and I'm sure you've got another interview. Hell, you've got a show to do tonight.
So. Yeah, but they don't care. You don't understand. They don't care. They've had me up since, you know, 7 this morning, going from interview to interview to interview. Show tonight. Hey, Jeremy, you're going to be up for that, huh? Oh, yeah, I'm going to be up for that. Because I don't go to sleep, you know. I'll just sit in front of the Frankenstein game and wait for it to go, it's alive! That's all I've been doing. I love casinos. I don't know what it is. Slot machines are, it's just me and the old ladies. You know the old ladies that have the thing hooked up, the card hooked up to the machine, and the oxygen coming in from the other side? Those ones are my favorite.
And the cigarette that's sitting there still.
The cigarette, and they never get up and go to the bathroom, and you're thinking, how do they hold it so long? And it's because they're wearing Depends.
Awesome. Well, please tell everyone where they can find you and how they can keep up with you.
Oh, it's just jeremyhotz.com is where I'm at, or you can follow me on Instagram. I went with Jeremy Hotz, or you can follow me on Facebook. I went with Jeremy Hotz there too. So there it is. If you know how to spell my name, you can find me, you know?
Excellent. Well, I do hope that you managed to find time to come to Calgary because this, with all the
hate. He was just here a couple days ago.
Yeah, I was there. Crap.
But you were out of town, Brett.
I was out of town. That's right.
You missed me. Where was I in Calgary? I don't remember the name of the theater. Very nice. Very good people. And we did it we had to do it on Sunday this time. It was one of those because when you're on tour, they screw some of the cities. And they make you go on, you know, the off night, but you have to, or else you end up with 5 days of being off and then just working Friday and Saturday, and you can't do that.
Yeah,
it's
of course
supposed to be a tour. So if your city is in during the week, you have to support me anyway. I don't care how big cowboy you are, you got to come. Just find your horse and get to the show in Calgary.
Awesome. Well, Jeremy, have a great show tonight. And and we enjoyed talking to you. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
All right. Thank you. Bye for now.
And, you know, what So you know this one? What does old lady pussy taste like? Depends.
Oh. Insult comic.
Time to retire.
I think, buddy. I broke him.
I'm okay, guys. How come I look way yellower than you? Is it because of the light right here?
Yeah, I think it's the light, that you got going
I'm just
on there.
Yellow, like I have jaundice.
Jaundice, yeah.
Look at me.
It's a good thing that the stage lights are better for you.
Sometimes. I guess it's because my look is blue.
Well, thank you. That was hilarious.
Okay, guys, thanks a lot. Hey, amazing. What do we do? Hit stop.
Yep.
Okay, see ya.